Welcome to the Balanced Perspective podcast, where we're going to be challenging perspectives on what it actually takes to become successful in business and in life every single week. I'm Terri Ann Richards, your friendly neighborhood serial entrepreneur and your guide to growing an impact-driven business, fueling both your community and your life at home. Enjoy this episode. Hey, y'all, this is Terri Ann Richards, and you are listening to the Balanced Perspective. I'm here with my guest, Haley Bohan, who is the founder and strategic marketer at her company, Marketing on Purpose. Haley helps heart-driven small businesses get unstuck, attract more clients, and change the world. Hey, Haley.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good.
You're good? This is a good, it's a good day?
It's a wonderful day.
Oh, that's awesome.
Making some impact.
That's always what you're doing. Okay, so I'm so excited to have you join me. And, you know, I know a lot of the individuals who know both of us definitely know you and know a little bit about your story. But before we get into sort of how you help small businesses get unstuck and really focused in their marketing, I'd really like to unpack who you were before you became, you know, basically my marketing coach and my go-to marketing girl. So who were you before this? What was your world look like? Like, have you always been in business? What were you doing before you were doing what you're doing now?
I've always been in business. I went into business right out of like high school, went to university for business, and I worked in corporate for the majority of my career on some really cool brands like Moosehead, Moose Light, and Absolut Vodka, and Jaeger, and Alexander Keys, Swiss Chalet. So I had like a really great corporate experience. And then I became a mom. And the corporate was awesome, and it was my dream job, and I was loving it and enjoying it and learning, and it was fulfilling. But there was a couple of things. So one was I was too busy to be present, like physically there with my kids as much as I wanted to be, because I was working long hours. And when I lived in Toronto, I had an hour and a half commute to work there and back. When I moved home and started working with Moosehead, I was on the road more than I wanted to be, doing commercials, radio records, stuff like that. So I had like these young kids and they went to bed at 7 o'clock. And here I was getting home at like 6:30. And so that's kind of when I was like, okay, enough is enough, and kind of headed into a different direction with my career outside of corporate and more towards small business.
So how did you make the decision? Because I know there are so many people, man, there are so many people that will be listening to this going, you know, we all had that idea, right? That thing that we would like to do, you know, the amount of times I've gone out for coffee with people and they say, you know, I got this idea, right? Everybody has this dream or this idea of entrepreneurship and what that would look like. For myself, I've been a serial entrepreneur my entire life. So I've had like two jobs, right? Like one recently and then one a long time ago. And, you know, jobs are just not my thing. But coming from corporate, and so, you know, the realization that you had like a regular paycheck, and you had probably not so structured hours, it sounds like you had hours that were impeding in your family life. But I mean, you had what I've heard people say, quote unquote, the golden handcuffs. Like you had a solid income, right? And you left that to go and do, you know, what I love and what so many other people love. But it's also scary as crap because there is no guarantee when you first jump, right? Like you don't have this telescopic look into the future that says, hey, this is the amount of money I'm going to be making and I'm guaranteed in 12 months to be successful. You didn't have that. So for those that are listening right now, can you help me understand how you made that decision to go from the golden handcuffs to both feet into the unknown?
I think there was a couple of things. One of them obviously that played into it was my kids, right? Like I wanted to be there for them And I have the pivot story, or the story that like was kind of the decision-making factor for me. With that was, I was away on a radio record. I was 4 hours away, and my daughter and son were in daycare. My daughter was 3, and I got a call from the daycare, like at the studio, saying, yeah, your daughter is sick. She has the flu. Can you come and get her? And that was the first time she'd ever had the flu. And I could not go get her. Like, I was too far away to be there for her when she needed me. And that was the moment, like on the drive home, like I decided, like, something's going to change. I know I've worked so hard to get to where I am, but it's not what I want anymore. Like, it was what I wanted, but now I want to be able to drop everything and go to my daughter for the first time that she's sick. Mm-hmm. Right? I can see it. You can feel that, eh?
I can feel that. But you know what? I think you hit on a point. It's so interesting that you said that. And I love when there's synergy between the conversations I'm having with people. I had interviewed a woman named Sherry Summers earlier this morning, and she is one of the future episodes, episode number something. And one of the things she said is she loves working with women entrepreneurs who must. They're making a decision to be in business because they must. The choice is a have to, it's not a nice to have. And yeah. And so for you, it sounds like that was what happened. It's, you had, your career was there. You had this awesome career, you know, you were getting paid good money. You yeah. were in the limelight of what you were doing, yet you were making this decision and sacrificing the other things that were so much more important in your life. And so you had to make the decision. You must make that choice so that you could be there for your children. So how yeah. scary was that?
That part wasn't super scary. And the reason was, I knew I was good enough, right? And I think that's what a lot of people don't like. I knew that I could, whatever I wanted to do, I could do it. I knew that I had the smarts to do it. And if I worked half as hard as I worked for the corporate companies, there was no way I was going to fail. So for me, it was good in that sense. And the other thing that was really good is that I had a security blanket. I was very fortunate. Like, I had a husband who had a good job, and we planned for me. So it's not like I was in that car driving home from Halifax and quit as soon as I got home. I talked it over with my husband, and we created a plan. We saved money. We changed our budgets around. We did all of the preliminary work. It took about 4 months. And then I quit.
Wow.
So I'm a security person. So it was going to be a huge impact on our income, our household income, for me to quit. Right. Yeah. So we had to plan for it. And so we factored in, like, we don't have childcare. We don't have all this. So I had to have something that was going to be super flexible so that I didn't bring those costs back into our life. And we planned it. We planned it out. And so I knew that if I wasn't successful immediately, that would be okay. We would still be able to survive. So it kind of took some of that pressure off for me. So I was fortunate, very fortunate that way.
Absolutely.
Not everybody's that lucky.
No, definitely not. I mean, I think back to when I first began my entrepreneurial career, I was 18 years old. and it was a must for me because, you know, I had my daughter at 17 years old, and working a 9-to-5 job just wasn't working for me because I was a single mom. And those phone calls of, hey, your daughter is sick. Well, you don't get a whole lot of sick time when you're new in a position, especially when you're that young. And yeah. I learned really quickly that I couldn't have that kind of rigid structure. So I went into business, right? But I didn't have any backup foundation, no partner to bail me out. So it was just a true hustle, a true grind, and it'll fake it until you make it. And, you know, I thank God I made it.
But for me too, like, it was still a must, right? Because I couldn't continue on and be okay with myself if I wasn't the kind of mom that I really wanted to be, because that was more important to me than the ego and everything else that the corporate gave me. So it was a must. It just, fortunately for me, if it didn't work out, I wasn't going to. And I always knew that I could go back into corporate, right? Absolutely. Like, it's not like my skills are going to be erased, and I'm pretty marketable. So
I love your confidence. So, you know, again, when I think of so many times, you know, over your lifetime, and this is not specifically to females, but I'm just going to stick on the female side for a second. You know, you're always, my mom, God bless her heart, love you, mom. But she used to say, like, don't get too big for you. I think it's your britches or something. Like, don't let your head get too big. You know, don't be too confident. And a lot of women that I work with, you know, they're always dimming their light, right? You don't want to be, you know, you don't want to put yourself out there that you're the best or you're the expert because, you know, that could diminish somebody else's light. What I love about you is you have this way about you, and there's so many more like you, but what I love about you is you are unapologetically confident in your authority in your market space. Like, you know your stuff. And by knowing your stuff and by saying that you know your stuff, you're not hurting or harming anybody. You're just raising the vibration of you and everyone around you. And I love that. I love that.
I mean, it wasn't always as confident, right? It took me decades of working in that industry. And I remember being in like marketing careers earlier in my career and not being confident at all. And always seeking, like, I mean, you grow into it, but I do know myself. So I guess that's what I'm like so confident in is that I know that I'm not going to give up.
Got you. Right. So what do you think came first for you? Was it the fact that you, once you were in your chosen profession and you became good at it, that's when the confidence happened? Or did the confidence happen because of some inner work that you did? Which one happened first?
That's a good question. I guess a little of both. Like, I've always thought I could do whatever I wanted to do if I wanted to do it bad enough.
Mm.
Right? That's the caveat. Anybody, I believe anybody can do anything and conquer anything if they want to do it badly enough.
100% agree with that. 100% agree with that.
So if I didn't want that time with my kids as bad as I wanted it, I probably would have like not been able to pull it all together as quickly as I did, right?
So when you started into running marketing on purpose, why did you decide to focus on local businesses? Like, what made you make that as a decision? Because I mean, you're somebody who came from the corporate world, you'd work with obviously some very large, successful brands, you know, the world was sort of your oyster. Yes. What made you decide local?
So when I left Moosehead, when I was 35, like after all of that stuff happened, I kind of dabbled in small business. So I had a friend who had a small business. He was like, come help me out. And so that's how I started. I didn't start marketing on purpose right away. I jumped into his business and, you know, I just wanted him to be successful. And like, he had been kind of waiting around for me, like, for a long time in my career, because we went to university together. So he knew what I was like and my drive and stuff. So he was just waiting for the moment that, you know, we could work together, and I didn't want full time, and I just wanted to see how I would make out. So anyways, he ended up hiring me. It ended up working into a full-time thing, but it was a small business, and it was kind of some first exposure that I got to like really flat organizations, really swift decision-making. Like, you could come up with something and execute it like the next day. So I started seeing some patterns that were going on with him, and then like other people that I started talking to, because then I got into the small business community, right? And there's so many steps that are skipped in small business, because like small business owners, local business owners, they're like, go, 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 let's do. And nothing holds them back, right?
Absolutely. I can relate to that 100%. Yeah. So what are those things? What are those key things that small businesses continuously, you know, in your experience, and especially with your, you know, preliminary experience with this small business, again, switching from corporate over to a small business and recognizing that they're super agile and, you know, the entrepreneur, the CEO, the owner is, you know, right into the quicksand of the business. What are those key steps that we miss?
Yeah. So the first thing I notice is that small businesses do not do research. They might send a survey. They might do a customer satisfaction like survey or something like that, but they don't do actual qualitative research.
So like, what do you mean? Like what is research? Because research can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. And I know, you know, again, being in business as long as I have, until I met you, I didn't understand how deep you can go in this research. So just kind of unpack that a little bit for me.
Yeah. Like when I was in corporate, we would spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to do focus groups and like research studies with people because our brands were really big. Like I had a big budget, like our brands were really big. But understanding who your ideal customer is, what they look for, and most importantly, the emotional triggers for them, the emotional buying triggers, stuff like that is key to effective marketing. And because small businesses just assume that they know their ideal customers, and they do know them better than like a marketer at a corporate, right? Like you do, like if you're a business owner and you're servicing people directly, like you know your customers better, but you don't know enough. And so that was kind of the first hurdle that I wanted to address, was helping them to know enough so that their marketing could just surpass anybody else's.
Okay.
Because they were so honed in on the right messages, right?
It's interesting how powerful it becomes. And to your point, right? When you get into business, you do know your customer, you know them better than most, but do you know them at that deep psychological level to understand like, why are they buying from you? What are their actual challenge? Where are they hanging out? I think that's what I really love about your approach. So, okay. So you're working in a small business and you understand that this is one of the issues. What other issues or
the other one that I found, which is really big and it's in small and big companies, is I really found that when small businesses hire a marketer, maybe to build their website, maybe to do their social media or whatever, they have to be really aligned with the messaging and with the core values and the purpose and all of that internal stuff of their company. Because what I found is like, I did my thing in my first small business, right? And I created a brand and I did do customer research eventually. Like we did a roundabout way just because we had other priorities and we tried to skip steps and it didn't work. So we ended up doing research and all of that stuff. But what I found is what I was putting out there in the marketing was not what the CEO or the founder was putting out when he was trying to close the sale. So there was this huge disconnect, right? So when I started my business, I was like, I am working with the owners only. And then their staff and their admin person, they can be part of it, but the owners have to be the core and they have to be 100% bought in to the impact that they want to make in the world, to who they're servicing, to why they're doing, like all of those things. Because when there's a disconnect in your marketing, and if you're a small company and there's a disconnect, like that's even worse, right? So that was the other thing. Like I just, like for me, it was like the owners had to start taking ownership in their marketing.
Wow. Okay. So how do you do that? Because again, I think of myself and I'm saying this in a way to try to act like I'm, don't know what it is you do, but the caveat here is, folks, I hired Haley, I think over a year ago. And that rebellious side of me that those who know me understand, those who don't know me, well, you will soon find out that I am always trying to, I don't know why I like to do things my own way, which is mostly the hard way. And then, you know, over time, my ego gets out of the way and I'm like, okay, I'll do it your way, Haley. So what happened is over about a year ago, I hired Haley and she has this boot camp. She puts me through and all these processes that I'm supposed to follow and these simple little things that she says small businesses miss or forget or just, you know, cross over. I was doing that. And yes, I had success. And yes, I was making revenue and all of those great things. And I was making the impact I wanted to make. However, did I go as far as I could have if I would have followed her process? I would say the answer is no, because I'm now following her process. And man, do I ever understand my people at such a deeper level than I didn't have that knowledge a year ago. And knowledge really is power at the end of the day, right? So I need to ask you this because I can't imagine I'm your only problem child, but maybe I am. But how do you get small business owners to focus on all of that when most small business owners are in their business? They're working in the weeds. They're super busy. They're super squirrely. they're, you know, in 10 different directions, their hands on many, many different, you know, aspects of their business. How do you get them to focus on this, which is so pivotal, but it's also like it requires your time.
Yeah, it does. But the people who come to me are typically the ones who have tried it before, right? So if you have tried it, like hired somebody to do the website, doing this, and you're just not getting over that plateau, whatever that baseline. So every, like most small businesses, they're going to have some honeymoon success, right? They're going to get some success at first, and they're going to hit a level that they can't seem to get past, either capacity wise, or they're just not attracting enough people, and they don't have like the full circle of marketing. They're just doing one of the four key things. But if they've tried it and they've thrown enough shit at the wall, they are going to want to do it right. And that's how I talk about it. Like, it's about finally doing it right. And like, and I make it very clear, like, you're the owner, you need to set this up. And once you get it set up, right, spend an hour with me for 12 weeks, do a little bit of your own work or whatever, like on the side. But once you get it set up, then you can delegate it. And then you'll actually know if people are doing a good job, because we've got the structure in place. So you have the litmus test to find out if your marketing is going to work. You have the test to find out if, you know, this project is the right project, and you know how to talk to people, and you can hand that over to somebody. So it's not forever that you have to do your marketing, but you've got to set it up for success, because if you don't, you're just going to continue throwing shit and shit and shit and shit and trial and error and guessing. And yeah, you might get there, but you're taking the long way.
100% true, right? And I think that's the point that I think we need to really hit home, is you can be successful. I mean, I've proven it before. Many entrepreneurs have proven it. You can be successful without understanding all of that foundation stuff. But if you're anything like I hope you are, you're an impact-driven entrepreneur, which means your goal in life is to make impact on the people that you serve. And wouldn't it be awesome to impact more people? Just a thought, right? And I think that's the cool thing. So I love that the people that you typically serve are the people who tried it first on their own.
Yeah, they really are. And yeah, I mean, that's the same like with me too, right? Like there's so many things, like my weight, like I've always struggled with like weight issues, right? Since I had my kids, not always, but since I had my kids, and I try it on my own, and then I try this, and then I haven't really found that like secret. But if somebody's offering me the steps so that I know that I'm going to be able to be successful in it, that's not just a one-off tactic or one-off this or that, or, you know, 3 weeks of this, I'm going to take it, because that is a struggle that I haven't been able to solve yet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So why do you think so many businesses and entrepreneurs get stuck in this space? Like, is it busyness? Is it ego? Like, why is it that they don't do the foundational work?
I think that we love shiny things. That sounds so simplistic, but usually if you're a business owner, like I always say, you're a creator, right? If you're a business owner, you're a creator, and you want to create your craft. So my craft is marketing. So when I do marketing, like I'm doing my craft and I love it, right? But somebody else's craft might be soap making or nutrition or coaching or whatever. And that's what they love to do. So most business owners just spend time refining and refining and refining and refining and working on the stuff that they love and putting out all the fires and all that stuff, instead of working on how to sell more of what they love. Like, it's because it's so much more fun to do what you love to do.
I think the book that hits on that so well is The E-Myth. If you haven't read The E-Myth, they just came out. Well, not just, but The E-Myth Revisited. And I just think it's such a good book for all entrepreneurs to read, because, you know, I really do believe that we all have a genius zone. You know, there's an area that we're really, really good at. It's why we do what we do. The unfortunate truth is we're not good at everything else, right? Like I learned a long time ago, I'm not good at bookkeeping. Yeah, folks, that is not my strength. Do not call me and ask me questions about your finances and bookkeeping. It is not my skill.
Don't call me either.
So in terms of your, you know, the marketing realm and, you know, picturing small businesses and entrepreneurs right now, is there any tools, resources, tricks out there that, you know, that you're, that are your go-to that you would recommend to those that are tuning in?
Well, I think the first thing is for any business to be successful, you really need to know where you're going. Right. And I think a lot of people don't know that. It's very like, I know a lot don't, because I've worked with, you know, quite a few entrepreneurs, over 70 now. And I always ask, like, what do you want? What do you want in the next 5 years? What do you want? What's the vision of your company? It's the first part of the bootcamp that you're part of. And it's really hard for people to know what they want. And so I feel like if you don't know what you want or why you're doing it or what impact you want to make, it makes it really hard to be effective in your marketing, right?
So understanding that why.
Yeah, understanding, yeah, the why you're doing it, but also the vision for it, right? So what do you want, like, your company to be in 5 years from now? And yes, it's going to change and stuff. But when you have no idea and you're not willing to put any numbers down and you're not willing to, like, put a stake in the ground and say, this is, like, what I'm trying to create, then it's going to be really hard to create it, right? Mm. So I feel like the first step for people is to really get a clear idea of that and make it personal to you.
Got you. So really, it's not so much just knowing your why, but it's knowing where you want to end up. What's that end goal? What's the end game? What's the big shiny tool at the end that you're chasing, right?
And if it's just about money, then you wouldn't be listening to Terri Ann's show.
Right? Probably not. I don't typically attract that. Now, not to say that I don't love money, because I love money and so does Haley. But the reality of it is money is the outcome of serving your community, right? Like, that's the stuff you get. That's all the, you know, the gemstones and the diamonds that you get because you showed up every day doing what you were intended to do. And I think that's why you and I, Haley, are so aligned, because we're so purpose-driven. And, you know, we want to make impact in our community, because we know when we do it, those individuals go out and make impact in the community as well. And it's just, it's the ricochet effect. It's the butterfly effect. It's absolutely amazing. So Haley, I want to know, what's your why?
What's my why? Well, like I said, the reason I did this at all was for my kids, right? So what I want, like, when I sat down and thought about, what do I want for them? And I do this with my clients, right? And I think you probably do it with your clients too. What do I want for them when they get to be my age? What do I wish for their life? And when I thought about that, the main thing I wish for their life is that they live it to the fullest, that they have no regrets, that they don't let fear stand in the way, and that they know that they can do whatever they want to do. Like, so I think a lot of parents want that for their kids, right? So when I thought about that and them in the future, and then I thought about my own values and what I believe. Like, I believe that actions speak louder than words. Mm. Right. So for me to tell them, you can do anything, you can be anything, follow your dreams. And if I'm not actually doing that, it means nothing. I mean, it might mean something, but it's not going to have the impact. And so when I started this with a small business, I realized that I could show them that I'm following my dreams and take them on the journey with me and see that it's not easy, that it takes work, that it's not like what they think, you become a YouTube star or a TikTok star and everything's great, right? Like, it takes time and drive and work. But then I realized that as I work with other small businesses, they start to see their dreams come true as well. So I tell my kids the stories of my clients, nothing confidential, don't worry, but I tell them the stories of my clients having their dreams come true and the impact that they're making in the world. Because that's the other thing. When my kids were young, I wasn't really worried about the impact that they're making. But like, my kids are 12 and 14 now. And like, sadly, we're not leaving this world in the best state, right? So I know that my kids are going to have to step up at some point and help save the world, right? Mm-hmm. And make it better. So I want to show them that one small thing can make a huge impact. So they're driven to do that, And I want the world to be better for them. So as I started working with these small businesses, I realized, oh my gosh, if I can get each of these small businesses to have, like, to put some kind of purpose into their brands that is making positive change, it's like you said, it's the ripple effect. Then they'll go out and make the community better and life better for my kids. So when my kids get there, it's not going to be quite as bad, but they're still going to have to step up. And now they've just seen hundreds of companies step up, and it's going to be natural for them to do it.
What a powerful why. Holy jumpins.
I've thought about it a lot.
Well, I think that's probably because it has a lot to do with what you do. And this is your purpose, right? I mean, you're living your purpose, but I think it's so special, you know, as an entrepreneur to look at this in something in a way that it's bigger than you, right? And so, you know, for you to get into business because you wanted to be a present mother, but the long-term effect of being a present mother and an entrepreneurial mother is that you're teaching your kids that, you know, freedom is a choice, that the world that you have in front of you is basically your oyster, that if you work hard enough and you show up enough, and that you're positive enough that great things happen. And oh, by the way, when you do that, other cool things happen for awesome people too. And you have this impact. What an awesome legacy to leave for your kids. So I know one of your kids, I can't remember who, has like a little bit of the entrepreneurial
bug. Oh, Emery.
Emery. Yeah. And so what does Emery sell again?
She sells slime.
She makes slime.
She's been making slime since she was very young, and they did it as an entrepreneur class in like grade 2 or 3, and it was her first step in, and then she just kept making it, and then last year she wanted to start selling it online, so we made an Etsy shop for her, and she's not really selling a lot because her model's not very good. The shipping costs more than the slime itself. But like she got to see that process and pricing and like all of that. And she, you know, it was really fun to be able to do that with her and to let her know, like, you can do it. Like you can Absolutely. Do whatever you want.
I think it's such a cool experience for kids to test out, you know, the entrepreneurial waters that are, you know, low risk, right? Like having a little Etsy shop. My son created, what the heck did he make? I don't know if he made Rice Krispie squares. Like it wasn't that creative, but he sold those last year down at the, you know, the Cruddles in Hampton, a couple different craft shows. And he did amazing. He made, I don't know, let's say $75. He thought he was a multimillionaire.
Yep.
And then he realized he had sort of like a cost associated with it. So I had to teach him that even though you just made $75, sir, I fronted you $40.
Yeah. You owe me $40.
Owe me $40. And your table was $5. And so he wasn't as pleased with the results at the end. And so then he started thinking, well, like, how can I make more revenue? And what would it look like if I gave money away? And anyway, I just think it's such a cool experience to be in business and then be able to teach your kids the power of being an entrepreneur. So awesome. Very awesome. So question for you. Mm-hmm. I know over the last couple of weeks you had done, I think it was called the self-care challenge for small businesses. For those of you that are tuning in to this, this is during the COVID pandemic. I think we're sort of at the tail end of this current phase anyway, here in New Brunswick, Canada. But, you know, so many of our friends, our peers, folks that we know were struggling in business because this has never happened before, let's be clear. And, you know, you have brick and mortar businesses who didn't have a digital online footprint. They didn't know how to pivot. I know that's an overused word, folks, but I'm still going to use it. They didn't know how to, it is what it is, but they didn't know how to pivot. And then you, I don't know what you did. You just kind of went off into like your little girl cave or something and like out with this amazing challenge. Can you share a little bit about it? Because I know that you potentially have another one coming up.
I do. Yeah. So when this first came out that we were going to have to close businesses, social distancing was going to come out. A lot of my clients, like you said, are brick and mortar and they had to close their doors. So for the first time in their memory, they weren't putting out fires. They weren't they had to initially put out the fires, like when they closed the door, but they all of a sudden had this time open up and, you know, there's so much going on online about self-care and what you should do now and like trying to get people motivated to like take care of themselves while they have the time. It's like, I mean, there's no other opportunity other than like maybe maternity leave, but then it's not the same because you've got a little baby, right? Anyway, self-care was a really big thing. And I thought, what can I do to help these small businesses now while their doors are shut, do things that are going to make them stronger later? So that's where the self-care for the biz challenge came up. It was really to get you working on your business and to see what that was like, right? To work instead of in the weeds and all that busyness, to be strategic and think about what you wanted. And I think it was really well, like it went really well. It was like well attended and
the feedback that I saw, I mean, I obviously, I didn't do the entire 5 days. I think I did day one and then I got busy because I'm busy. It's my life and that's okay. But I wanted to watch to see sort of what was the comments that people were making. And it looked as though people really bit into this. Like this was something, because it is, it's something that's so overlooked in business is again, you get into it, you focus on all of the doing in your business. But there's this hierarchy stuff, you know, the stuff that's important for that self-care for your business that helps to really succession proof your business. Like you get to that point where you have a business that's built to grow and scale and also potentially sell in the future, which is, you know, hopefully most people's goal, right? So I know that you sort of you iterated, because that's what we do as entrepreneurs. You iterated it a bit, and so you are relaunching this, aren't you, in the next couple weeks?
Yeah. Okay. So the first time I launched it, it was really about like taking the time and looking and enjoying this like maybe free time that you had that you never had before. Now what I'm finding is as I'm talking to my clients, there's like this shift, right? Like when this pandemic first started, we were like, oh, it's going to be a couple months, right? Now we know that the effects of it are going to be years, potentially, to dig people out. And even if you can reopen your doors in a couple weeks or tomorrow, the general population might not be ready to enter your doors.
Correct.
Right? So people are like in this phase of complete uncertainty. They're like, my clients, like their emotions are up and down and up and down. They're constantly shifting. And so I was like, I want to do something else for my clients and for, you know, people who follow me to kind of get them to focus on the future a little bit more. Because I feel like if you can get really clear, like I said, on the vision, the impact you want to make and all of those future things, the stuff that's going on now is just stuff. Because you have a vision of where you're going. The problem that people are facing is that they don't know what the future is anymore. They don't know what they want anymore. And so I'm hoping that through this challenge, people will get refocused on either remembering why they're doing it so that they can push through right now in this difficult time, or to like come up with something totally crazy that just inspires the hell out of them so that they can push through right now. So that's what that one's about.
Awesome. So what's the name of this challenge?
Future Focus Your Biz.
Ooh, I like that. Future Focus Your Biz. And so if somebody wanted to join this challenge, how could they join it?
So I'll give you the link, but there's a link. They can register for it.
Okay.
And if they register for it, they'll be in. They have to then join my Facebook group because the challenge is all happening inside the DIY Marketing Facebook group. And yeah, they should sign up for VIP access. Because VIP access will allow them to get the reminder every day through Messenger to join me. Because my hope is that whoever's doing this, they're going to carve out that 1 hour a day for 5 days. And that's all I'm asking. I'm redoing the other one so that it's more succinct. So that if you can carve out an hour, you will feel hopefully more energized and better and more excited about your future than if you didn't. So 5 hours is what I'm asking.
Thank you. I think it's really important for people to understand that some of the biggest, strongest businesses that exist today were built out of the hardest times. And so if you're sitting there right now with a business that has been affected by this pandemic, I think the realization is this is an opportunity to review what you have for a business, what it looks like, and what the future looks like, because there are always opportunities. There is always a way, where, what's that quote, where there's a will, there's a way. but that's, it's not cheesy. Maybe it is, but it's true. There's always an opportunity to do something uniquely different with the way that you show up with your clients, with your business. It just takes time that you carve out, like you say, to take a sit down, take a breath and go, okay, what does the next step look like? Because whatever you had before is not there that way anymore. It's different. We all have a different, it's a new norm. And I think over the next 12, 18, 24 months, we're going to continuously create new norms until it becomes the norm, right? And so we could sit there and cross our arms and be like, you know what, I'm really frustrated and, peeved at the world right now because this is not what I had planned for. But I think if we take it the entrepreneurial way, which is entrepreneurs are agile and they're gritty. And gritty to me means you know your why in and out. You understand what you are built for. You understand your one thing. You have that passion for it. And then you persevere because life is going to continue to throw you lemons. It's never going to stop. I mean, I don't think they're always going to be this big of a lemon, but the reality of it is shit happens. It's going to happen. And things are going to happen in your personal life that'll affect your business life because it's just one big life. But if you can take a step down right now, look at your business and future focus, like Haley is saying, I think, you're going to be all the more wiser, but all the more prepared for whatever life throws at you next, right? So I love that you're doing this. Folks, this is a free challenge. So I would say definitely jump on it. I will make sure the links are in the comments. So you do not have to worry about that. So Haley, before we go, I have two more questions for you.
All right.
Okay. Be prepared for this. Are you prepared?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. So this is a question I like to ask people because, sometimes folks want to say something to me, but I didn't ask the question. So if you were on this side of the mic, what question would you have asked you?
I would probably ask maybe what do you think is the most important marketing thing for small businesses or local businesses to do right now or to know right now?
Okay, Haley. So what is the most important, don't you love, just getting you to feed me my questions.
No.
You're doing my job for me. Thank you. What is the most important thing that small businesses can be focusing on right now?
I think, again, it goes back to that future focusing, right? It's thinking, like doing things in your marketing that are going to create stronger connections and more loyalty from your current customers and your future customers. So from a marketing perspective, whether you have your doors open and can sell things or not, right now people need connection. They're craving it. They need you to be there for them. And I think you need to step up. So right now, the most important thing is to step up, which is why I'm offering this challenge. Am I getting paid to do the challenge? No. But I'm stepping up for people who may eventually want to work with me, right? So I'm creating a deeper connection. And because I'm going live every day with them, they're going to get to know me. They'll know exactly what they're going to get if they ever decide to buy from me. But I'm focused on creating connection and giving them what they need right now, which is for my people, it's comfort and it's to be re-energized about their business. So it's not all doom and gloom. That is what they need. So that's what I'm delivering. So I think everybody else needs to think about what their ideal client needs right now. Do they need distraction? Do they need comfort? Do they need entertainment? What do they need? And serve it to them on a silver platter so you can create a deeper connection with them, which is going to future-proof your business.
That was a powerful question that I came up with. Thank you. No, I really appreciate that. It's so interesting. And I love when, again, this is just what happens in my world. It's like, I'm reading things, I'm learning things on YouTube, I'm listening to other podcasts. And it's like, now is not the time to be putting your head in the sand. Like now is the time. There has never been a better time to be an entrepreneur than right now. Now is the time to stand tall, rise to the occasion, and serve your people. Because you're right, people are lacking connection. They're fearful. And I know a lot of us as entrepreneurs are fearful as well. But this show is all about shifting your perspective, right? And I think at the end of the day, you need to shift your perspective out of this fear-based space, and you need to look at the opportunities that are fruitful and many in front of you, and do what you were meant to do, which is serve, right? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So what does perspective shifting mean to you?
I think for me, it's really looking at things in a different way. Right. So, I mean, that's what we do in marketing. And I think that the thing, and in life, right? Like, you have to start looking at things from other people's perspectives. In marketing, like I was at a conference one time and somebody said, marketing is empathy.
Ooh,
I know.
Tell.
I thought that's such an interesting definition of marketing. I always say marketing is helping, but they said marketing is empathy, because you're basically putting yourself in somebody's shoes and seeing the world from their perspective. And that is how you attract the right people. If you can't put yourself in your customer's shoes or ideal customer's shoes, you can't market to them effectively. So I thought it was super interesting. And so when I think about shifting perspectives, I think about looking at things in all of the different angles that you can possibly look at it. And for business owners specifically, like I said before, we are creators.
Mm.
And if you always are looking in one way and you don't open it up, you're never going to create the magic that you are meant to create.
What a piece of rainbow pie you just gave me right there. That was beautiful. I don't know if anyone else caught that, but I got really excited and I got like the shivers up my arm. But I love the idea of, you know, and maybe this is just the way I took it, but you're serving your customers from where they are versus from where you are. I think sometimes we get sort of like laser focused on, well, I'm the expert and this is what I do. And sort of like, I'm the end all be all, right? But the reality is your customer actually is the end all be all. They have actually all the answers. And all we need to do is just walk up and meet them, right? Where they are versus where we are.
Right.
Oh, love it.
Don't pull them to where you are, right? Walk with them hand in hand to get to where you want to be.
So powerful. So Haley, how can people connect with you? I know that you have your do it yourself. Why can I never remember DIY? Is that what it is?
DIY, do it yourself. Yep. Oh, and that's what I'm trying to get business owners to do. Do it yourself and lease at first. And outsource, right?
So you can follow Haley. She has a free do-it-yourself marketing group on Facebook. I am a member of it. She is throwing value bombs all the time on there. And that's actually where you're doing your challenge, is it not?
It is.
It yep. is. Okay. So that's awesome. And where else can we connect with you?
I'm on Instagram, not as regularly as I want to be, but I'm there. Haley Bowen. And I have my Facebook page, my website, and of course, you can email me anytime, Haley awesome. At marketingonpurpose.ca.
Awesome. Listen, Haley, I truly appreciate you. And well, you know, I love you. So, and I thank you so much for sharing your time and your wisdom today. And I certainly hope people take you up on the challenge to join your 5-day challenge.
Thank you.
Thanks, see you, girl.
Thanks for having me.
And there she goes. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Balanced Perspective. Have your perspective shifted yet? Can I ask you a favor? To ensure I get to help other amazing entrepreneurs radically shift their perspectives, would you please leave me a 5-star review on iTunes and everywhere else you are tuning in? Oh, and P.S. If you want to continue this conversation, join me over on the gram at TA_Richards. And remember, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at will change.